Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Michelle P.W., also known as Michelle Parisa Wasik. Considered one of the hottest marketing strategists today, Michelle P.W. has a reputation for crafting promotional materials and creating marketing campaigns that get results. She is the owner and founder of Michelle P.W. Creative Concepts and Copywriting, LLC, which is the premier international direct response copywriting and marketing company around. She is also a national speaker and author, plus her client list reads like the Who's Who's list of internet marketing. Thank you so much for joining us today, Michelle. It's a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited about this, too.
So tell us a little bit more about you.
Well, I started my writing career as a three-year-old because I taught myself to read because I wanted to write fiction so bad. So writing really has been a predominant driving force in my life. And then it wasn't until I got to college that I actually, you know, discovered this entire world of copywriting, which is writing promotional materials for businesses. It's nothing to do with, like, copywriting a book or a CD or a piece of art or anything like that. And part of the reason why I discovered copywriting is, like, everyone, you know, I was casting about for another way to, you know, to write, to make money writing, and everybody was like, oh, you should be a journalist. Well, I didn't want to be a journalist. So then I discovered marketing copy, which was perfect, and it fit me. It was a perfect fit because part of what I do is, you know, as a fiction writer, you know, I'm very interested in psychology and connecting with the readers and all of that, and it was actually that's what you do as a marketing copywriter. I mean, you still have to do the same pieces as you would, you know, you're connecting with your readers, you're relating to your readers. You have to make sure it, you know, you're working on still on psychological triggers. You know, there's a lot of overlap, and it has nothing to do with making things up, which is one of the things that people would always say when I said this before. It really has to do with just the sort of in-depth understanding of human psychology and behavior. So that's how this kind of all came about. And I started as a freelance copywriter because I was doing that for years, you know, even when I was working as a business. And it wasn't until 1998 that I really just started this whole creative concepts and copywriting. I started as a freelancer, and then about 5-6 years ago is when I decided that I needed a bigger business than what I could just do as a freelance copywriter. As a freelance copywriter, there is only so much you can do. There's only so much, so big you can get because you're one person. And there are a few freelance copywriters out there that, you know, like, you know, that get like the Gary Halberts, and, you know, some of them, you know, they have really managed to capitalize on that and really make a name for themselves. But you know, there's still a limit, at least how much that they can actually do as one person anyway. And so really what I really wanted to do was build a business. And so that's really what I started a whole transition from going from, you know, a freelance copy model to really a copywriting business. And it's, you know, it hasn't really been done before. So that's a whole other story that may be of interest because trying to really do something, turn a service-oriented business where you're the primary person into an actual business, where you're not the one actually doing all the work, it required a required a pretty big mindset shift. But on the other hand, you know, by doing that, I'm now in a position where I really can reach more people, help more people, and just make a bigger impact on the world, which I wasn't able to do when it was just really me. So that's kind of where we're at now. And so now, you know, the business, you know, I've got copywriting trainings, marketing trainings, as well as, you know, and what the bulk of the business is really getting your copy, you know, being able to provide you with copy or marketing strategies or marketing plans, you know, that are created or are specific to you, personalized to you.
Well, you know, I could never imagine anybody saying that copywriting would be anywhere near like fiction, because my view of it is that a copywriter has a very excellent grasp on words and how powerful they can be and how to interwove them so they reach the people they're trying to speak to in a magical way.
Yeah. That, I mean, that is really the case. I mean, with fiction, it's you're creating, what they call, I can't think of the word right now, but you're getting people to buy into the fictionalized dream, and it's different, but it's the same. You're still wanting people to you're still motivating behavior and helping people get to relate to people on a deeper level. But yeah, it's really paying attention to the power of the words and what you're doing, and also the power of the order of the words, which is also actually very important, because if you do things in the wrong order, that doesn't work as well as well as it could.
Or it could give a whole different meaning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because if you do things in the wrong way, in the wrong order. You can break the spell, and they leave. So,
yeah. So, tell us a little bit more about copywriting. I mean, more about what it is.
Yeah. So, it's writing promotional materials, and actually, copywriting is huge. I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of opportunities for freelance writers to get out there and just, provide copy for businesses, because there's a lot of things that businesses need written. I mean, sometimes it's just articles or bios or, sell sheets. There's a lot of stuff out there. So, not all of it is what I would call direct response, which is something that I've really specialized in. That's what the business is specialized in, is direct response copywriting, which is, writing materials, the materials that you've written actually do the heavy lifting for you. They actually make the sales. So examples of direct response are, of course, junk mail, direct mail. And it's also on the web, it's like those long, what we call long copy sales letters, which are those sales letters that you scroll down forever looking for the call to action. are actually looking for the price. It's like, where is the price? So anytime you're on one of those where you're scrolling down looking for the price, that's an example of a direct response sales letter, because the sales letter is actually doing the selling for you. And so you don't have to get on the phone and do the sale or make the deal. The sales letter does. And really, it's an extremely powerful way for the solopreneur or the entrepreneur to compete, because the biggest thing that you've got, the biggest obstacle is a lack of time, that's what you have. There's only so many hours of the day. There's only so many things you can do. And if you're a solopreneur all by yourself, if you have to make every single sale by you getting on the phone, that's a tremendous amount of time that's taken away from doing other things. Well, if you had a sales letter out there or a website or a marketing, a whole sales machine that was just doing the selling for you, think about how much time that would free up. I mean, it leverages your marketing, because you're able to reach more people. It leverages your time, because you don't have to be the one doing all the sales. Or if you do have to get on the phone, the person is already pre-sold by your materials. They might just have one or two questions that pertain to them. They get those answers, and they can move forward. So it's really a great way to leverage your marketing, leverage your sales, leverage your marketing dollars, and just make your life a lot easier and help you grow your business.
So you can overcome all your objections, or most of the objections, before they even try to pick up the phone to call you.
Exactly. I mean, so your sales calls, even for a high-end program, might be 10 minutes versus an hour. I mean, that could be the difference. I mean, that's a huge savings.
So how does all this fit into the psychological triggers anyway?
Because copywriting is actually, I believe, direct response copywriting is less about being a great writer and more about knowing, understanding human behavior, human psychology, and really being able to use that in order to encourage people to take action. I mean, that's really what you want to do. You want to create a buying environment that has your ideal client feeling comfortable in it, and that they, and at the end of the time, that they've got enough information so they can make a decision, to move forward with you or not. And if they make a decision to move forward with you, they will move forward with you right now and not wait. That's really what you're doing. And if without the psychological triggers, you really have no, you can't do that. Because, you know, buying is an emotional experience. It's an emotional experience. It's also a loaded experience. You know, there's a lot of things that come up. And so if you don't understand the whole psychological, triggers behind, you know, or what's really motivating people, then you can't use words to actually get people to take action. There's just no way. So you can't, because without knowing what the behavior, what motivates people to behave, how can you possibly motivate behavior? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Excellent. So this is the the topic is the five psychological triggers to turn prospects into clients. So what is your first secret to that?
Okay. The first secret is you have to know your ideal client. In other words, know who you're talking to. And I like to talk about something called ideal client. You may be familiar with terms like target market or niche. Ideal client is really something that I like to talk about because I think that's if you know what your ideal client is, it actually makes your selling a lot easier. So what is ideal client? Well, first I'll talk about what it's not, which is it's not target market and niche. Target market and niche are things that are more external. They're demographics based. So like a target market, an example of a target market would be like women ages 3 to 50 with two kids, stay-at-home mom, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe it's, and you know, that's a target market. A niche in that target market might be women 30 to 50, stay-at-home moms who are looking to develop business, to get a business model, or not to get a business model, but to actually get into business, a home-based business. Now, that sounds like a pretty good niche, right, you think? You know, because it sounds like it's specific and narrow and all that other stuff. Well, the problem with it is that it's still external, still based on external factors. So what if I were to tell you that in that niche, there's actually at least two ideal client groups. So ideal client group one in that niche, we have the stay-at-home mom, two kids, looking to start a home-based business. And this woman is doing it because she really wants something for herself. You know, she feels like she has given, you know, she her time and her attention and her energy is all on her family. And, you know, she's feeling this longing about having something that she can call her own, maybe creative, or it's a creative expression. Perhaps it's just getting out there with other adults, or just having something that's just hers and not, and she's just not always giving a service to her family. She's not motivated by money because she's not doing this for money. She may like the money. That's why she's doing this, not volunteer, because perhaps she wants to have, you know, some extra money to save for a vacation or a new car or for the college kids or whatever. But the money isn't the motivating factor. It's having something that's hers, and the money is nice and will be used for something, but it still is hers, okay? So that's one ideal client group. Second ideal client group, same thing, stay-at-home mom, two kids looking for a home-based business opportunity. This person's motivation is she just found herself in a position where she has to be the breadwinner. Maybe her husband's lost her job. Maybe it's a divorce. Whatever is the case, she now has to go out and make money. And she doesn't necessarily want to sacrifice, you're putting the children in daycare. So she wants to start a home-based business so she can still be there and she can still kind of work around her, you know, her children's schedule. Or maybe there's not a job to be had either. So that's, or she's been out of work for so long that she doesn't think that she could get a decent job that could actually be the breadwinner, so she wants to do a business. So her primary motivating factor would be she needs money, and she needs money fast. And she's less concerned with time, like in the first ideal client group. That person, you know, she needs to make sure that, you know, even though this is for her, her family is still the number one thing. Not money, it's her family. So the home-based business that she selects would need to be flexible. This is, would be something that she could easily build around her family, her, you know, her family duties and obligations. The second ideal client group, money, is the motivating factor. And so it, with her case, while, yes, time is important, if she has to work long hours in order to get this started and make some money fast, she's willing to do it because, you know, she's now the primary breadwinner, and she's got to pay the mortgage and do everything else. So now that I've described these two ideal client groups, can you see the problem with creating a sales letter? If you didn't know this about yourself or about this, if you had the solution for these two ideal clients, and you want to present it, you know, think about it. If you wrote a sales letter that was all about money, the first ideal client group would be completely turned off because she would feel like, she, you know, the flexibility wasn't there. She wasn't doing it for the money. You know, the money wasn't the main focus. But if you wrote about how the, you know, they would get their, you know, the, this could be something for them and the creative aspects and all that other stuff, group two would be completely turned off because, you know, they would be like, well, am I going to be able to make, you know, am I going to be able to support my family on this or not, and would leave. So you see the difference?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You would definitely need to understand who you're talking to and the motivation that they have. That would
exactly.
make a whole lot of sense.
And the language you would be using would be similar, but it would still be slightly different. So without knowing who your ideal clients is, having a really strong understanding of what motivates them and what's important to them, their core values. This is why I say ideal client is internal, because that what I just described is more of core values. You know, the ideal client group one, core values is creative expression, family is first, money not so much. The second one, money is important because, you know, because we have to support the family. Creative expression, probably not even on the radar. And time, and then time is there too, because, you know, the idea is not to abandon the family, but to you know, try to make this work with the time constraints.
Well, that makes sense. So, what is secret number two?
So secret number two kind of leads in from secret number one, which is now that you know who your ideal client is, you have to know what keeps them up at night, what's their pain. Because people are far more motivated to relieve a pain than they are to move towards pleasure. Pain actually adds urgency. This is why I really like you to understand the pain. I mean, you can, you know, there are, people will buy things, you know, will move towards pleasure. They will buy things to move towards pleasure. But the problem with that is there's no urgency in that. So, for instance, if you break your leg, you know, what do? It's the middle of the night and you break your leg. You know, you call the doctor, right? You wake him up. You don't care. Your leg is broken. You're in pain. But do you call your dentist in the middle of the night and say, oh, my God, I've missed my teeth cleaning. I forgot to get a teeth cleaning. We got to get down there right now. Can you clean my teeth right now? Nobody does that. So while we do, like getting your teeth cleaned is not necessarily, you know, motivated by pain. So we, you know, it's motivated by, you know, other things. You know, but we do it. So there is some motivation with that. You know, what encourages us to act immediately is the pain. That's what creates the urgency. That's what gets us to act now and not wait 6 months if we can get that in there. So that's why it's very important once you know who your ideal client is then to know what is motivating them, what's keeping them up at night, what's their pain, and to do that. And it's not to be a downer. It's not to, like, wallow in it. I don't want you to do that either. That's a huge turnoff as well. It's simply to touch on that and connect to it, because that's what's going to cause people to take action. And that's probably why your ideal client is sitting on your sales letter or sitting on your website in the first place, because they do have a pain. There is something keeping them up at night, and they're searching for a solution. So that happens far more frequently than, you know, than the other way, that there's something that's bothering them that they want to, you know, they want to solve. And then how much it's bothering them is, you know, the urgency has, you know, how much it's bothered them, how much they really want to get this fixed. That's where some of the urgency comes in. So people search for things on the website, you know, from pain. I mean, think about it. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, my life is great. I'm so happy. Everything's fine. But you know, I think it could be even more perfect. So I'm going to go on the internet and search about ways that I can make my life even more perfect.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah. So you know, people are, they wake up like, oh, I'm broke. You know, need to lose weight. I'm arguing with my husband. My kids are ignoring me. I got to go fix this. That's what they go search for.
So let's follow the housewife that you were describing earlier, like the one that has to get out and make money because she really needs money now. Her husband's left her or passed away or something's happened that she's now the breadwinner. What would you typically say along those lines for pain?
For pain? Mm-hmm. You know, in her case, it's supporting the family. So I would start off by, you know, the worries about money, you know, not being able to pay your mortgage, you know, being able to take care of your children. I mean, if that is your ideal client group, then you really need to use the money, the terms of how the fact that if you don't get this money in the door right away, you know, this is going to be a problem. And then I would contrast getting a job. It's like, this works better because you can make more money. It's more flexible. I would go into that. So you're not having to stick your kids in daycare while you go do a job. So even though the ramp up might take a little longer, at the end of the day, you're actually going to come out ahead, is what I would do. Because you won't have
those
any extra expenses.
Those are all really good, Michelle, and right off the top of your head. So thank you for sharing that, because I think it helps to have an example as we're going through this kind of.
Well, if you want the example, the harder one, of course, is the what about the creative expression? And that one I would focus on, you know, you're feeling kind of lost. You know, you're feeling that you're not feeling, you know, you're just feeling stretched in a lot of directions. You know, there's kind of this unsettledness about you. That one's a harder one because the pain isn't as forefront, but, you know, so you almost have to delve in deeper with that one than the first one, because that one, the person is probably, the woman is, you know, she has an unsettledness about her. You know, she's just not, she feels like she should be happy and she's not.
Just more about the undies.
Yeah, so I think so it's like, you know, if you want to stop that, you know, here's a great way to do that. And the best part of this is that, unlike some other things, this will pay for itself. So you don't have to feel guilty investing in whatever it is, you know, to start your business, because you will get that money back. So you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be draining the family funds to help you, you know, to help you overcome this. That's how I would approach the second one.
And see, you did that right off the top of your head, too. So I can't imagine what it looks like when you're sitting there and you've had time to actually really think it out. Those were already great examples. So what is what is secret number three?
Okay, so number three is features and benefits. So features and benefits, you may have heard this before, so it's worth talking about. Features are, again, we've got facts and emotions, so external and internal. Doesn't everything seem to come down to that sometimes? So features are external, benefits are internal. What does that mean? So when you have a features are easy because they are facts. It's like target markets are easier than ideal clients, by the way, because you're dealing with external facts, and those are always easier than the internal. So if you had a product, like a feature, like a pen. So the feature of the pen is red. See, it's like a fact. You know, so that's the fact. The benefit would be that if the pen is red, therefore, I can find it easier in my purse, and I don't have to be digging around forever looking for a pen. Okay. So now, if you actually heard everything that I said, there's two benefits in that. Well, there's only one benefit. There's two, because I have one benefit and then I have the real benefit. The first benefit is I'm not digging around forever in the purse. That is a benefit. But the real benefit of that is saving time. So all benefit and saving time is directly that's more of a peer psychological trigger. And what I mean by that is when you really delve down, the real peer psychological triggers are ones that relate to relate to things like sex appeal, security, safety, saving time, enough food, where you are in the pack, the hierarchy. Those are more the ones that we had as cavemen. I mean, we really haven't changed much emotionally from cavemen days. Obviously, our lives look a heck of a lot different. But our internal things have not changed much at all. What's motivating us? The same things. We're motivated by the same things as we were in caveman days, living in caves. Making sure you got the best mate, the closest by the fire, and you could run away from saber-toothed tigers when they came chasing after you. It's all kind of the same thing. It just looks a heck of a lot different. So the closer you can get to those actual peer motivations, peer triggers, the more powerful the benefits are. So, but sometimes you have to state it a couple ways, and like what I just did, to make sure that you draw the line so people really get that. Because people buy benefits. People buy the benefits of whatever it is you're selling, and people buy the transformation. That's the other way this is told. Like, how are they going to be better after working with you? What's going to change in their life? That's what people are buying. Nobody's buying a red pen because it's red. They're buying a red pen because, I mean, the pen's probably a little bit of a bad example for some of this, but not really. I mean, people are buying a red pen because they want a red pen, because they want to mark up their paper red so it stands out, and that saves them time because they can find the stuff easier. They can find it easier in their purse. I mean, they're buying it probably for some sort of time saver because it's red and it stands out. They're buying a black pen because they don't want it to stand out. They want something that they can read easier and write. Because it's easier on their eyes. The red pen would be hard on the eyes after a while. So that's what they buy. You see, it's not just like a diet pill. Nobody buys a diet pill because they want to take more pills in their life. They buy a diet pill because they want the transformation. They want to lose weight, and they want to lose weight in an easy and effortless way. Nobody's saying like, I'm going to buy a diet pill because I need to take more pills in my life. Woohoo! You're buying it because of the transformation, because of the fact that when you take diet pills, you can lose weight faster, you're not hungry, and it's easy. So that's the difference. That it's the benefit, it's the transformation, it's the what's in it for me.
Excellent. So we answer what's in it for me question. So what is your fourth secret?
So then what it is objections. You have to overcome objections, and we all have them, because there's only so many, there's only so much we can do. There's only so much we can buy in the world. Now, I say this in some of my law of attraction friends. They go, do you really think there's a limit on money? All right, here's my point. Nobody's going to go to the store and buy every single brand of toothpaste. You're not going to buy every single shopping detergent, every single brand of toilet paper. I mean, nobody's going to go and take one of everything off the grocery store shelves and buy it. We're just not going to do that. When we're in there, we're making choices. Whether it's a limit of time or money or whatever, or space to store all that stuff, it doesn't matter. There is a limit to how much stuff we are going to buy. And that is just the way it is. So we have to make choices, because there's far more things out there for us to buy than we possibly can from a space or a consumption or whatever. So we have to make choices, and we have to decide. And typically, what we're doing is, because we're buying much fewer things than we can, our decision when we look at something is no. When we come to something, it's usually, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it, or whatever. That's how we approach it. So your job as a business owner, an entrepreneur, as something that you have a solution that can really help the problem is to overcome those objections. Because that's how we're starting. We start the conversation with them already kind of in a no. Even if they're, even if like they've made a decision, okay, we want to buy a car. You know, it's, you know, and people like to buy, by the way. It's fun to buy. They want to buy. But there is always that in the back of their head, because again, you're going to buy a car and there's like 5 million different cars out there. Which car are you going to buy? So you are still approaching that decision as, you know, are you going to buy a used car? Are you going to buy a new car? Are you going to buy an expensive car? So you're still, there's always these battling these objections as to, and you're just, at that point, the question is it this car or that car? Not should I do it or should I not do it? But it doesn't matter. You still have all you still are facing this situation with a lot of these, you know, objections already built in. Because, again, you're not going to buy every single car that you can. You're going to buy one car. So, and you just got to make sure you buy the right car for you. So that's what you're doing. You're doing, overcoming the objections that people have when they're reading your product or when they're reading your sales letter. And there's two sets of objections. There's the objections that everybody has, and then there's objections that are specific to your product and specific to your ideal client. Now, the objections that everybody have is around time and money. Unless you're selling shoes or a car, and then time is not the problem. But money is always an objection, and time is usually an objection. So that's kind of the difference. So you always need to answer the money question. You always have to do the overcoming the money, and then sometimes you have to do the overcoming the time. And then I've got a little secret tip, which is most of the time when people trot out the money excuse, you know, it's too expensive, I don't have the money right now, yada, 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 sometimes that's true. There are times where we just simply don't have the money for it, but a lot of times it's not true. A lot of times that money excuse is a throwaway to what the real objection is, and the real objection you might have to dig around for. Your ideal client might not even know what it is unless you actually ask them. They just would know that this wasn't right for them for whatever reason. And so they just kind of land on the easy excuse, which is, well, you know, we can't afford it right now anyways. More of us don't have the money for it right now. But that is not the real excuse. The real excuse is something else. So it's your job to figure out where, you know, what those real excuses really are and what's going on. So you can address those in your sales letter.
I'm glad that you covered overcoming objections because that's so important, especially if you don't have to do it yourself and can write it, have it written. What is the secret for number 5?
Okay, so the last thing you have to do is packaging it's something I call packaging your genius, but it's like it's making an offer. And asking for the sale, so it's kind of both of that. So it's the way you package what your products or your service or whatever it is that we're selling here. So you have to present it in a way that's appealing to them, and that they know that it's a good value and it's going to solve their problems. And you have to actually ask for the sale. You have to have a call to action on there. And if you don't tell people what to do next. Chances are they're not going to do anything at all because they're too busy to figure out what you want to do next. It's only the extremely motivated person that will actually do something. Now you're going to say to me, well, I'm in business. Of course I want them to buy something. Everybody should know that. Well, yeah, I guess if you say it like that, everybody does know that you want them to buy something. However, if you don't make it crystal clear that what it is they're, you know, that this is the next step is to buy something, they still may not put the dots together. I was on a website. I was critiquing, somebody won a critique for me, and it was a website from an artist, and the person had very talented, lovely pictures of art, and there is not one sentence or word on there that had anything to do with here's where you can purchase my art. Nothing. I mean, I'm not even like, you know, if you know, even it wasn't even that it wasn't even like forget like setting up a, you know, PayPal or a shopping cart where they could just buy right there on the website. There wasn't even like a sentence that said, if you want more information about buying, you know, about purchasing something, contact me here. There's absolutely nothing. And it was, I couldn't even believe it. I mean, looking at that site, what it looked like, because there was nothing on there, is that it just looked like it was kind of like this little portfolio site. Like, hey, look at my art. Isn't that nice? And that was the end of it. So, yeah, it didn't even look like there was anything. I mean, there was no mention of this is, that there is anything for sale that you could buy. I mean, you didn't even know if you could buy anything. You know, for all you knew, it was just, this is like, hey, isn't this pretty? So, and of course, when I, the person, just by that, but then they had the same thing. Well, I'm an artist. Of course I'm going to sell art. It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, looking at this, it certainly is presented in such a way that you're not selling art. You're not selling anything. You just want to have people see how pretty your art is. So, you have to actually tell people what you want them to do next. And there are cases, too, where the next step isn't actually buying. I mean, if you're selling a high-end coaching program and you want to make sure that the person that you're getting into this coaching program is actually a good fit for you and you're going to like working with them, which I do highly suggest for one-on-one things, you're going to want to have a conversation with that person and make sure they're the right fit. So in that case, the next step is not necessarily to go ahead and purchase the buy button. The next step would be to contact you and actually decide if you guys are a fit together and if you actually can help them. And that and then would be the buy. But again, if you don't tell somebody that, they're not going to know that. They're not going to know that the next step is to contact you for a time to talk and see if this is a good fit, the good next step for both of you. So you have to tell people what you want the next step to be. This also works for free things. Trying to get people, like to sign up for a teleclass or just to get on your list so you can develop a warm relationship. Again, you need to be very clear that you want people to give you their name and email address. If that's not clear, they're not going to do that. So that's the kind of stuff that you have to be very clear about. What is the next step? Is it getting their contact information so you can start the relationship? Is it contacting you so you can figure out what the next step is? Or is it buying something? Or is it something else entirely? There's something else you want them to do. Maybe you want them to go to a different page and read more. I knew somebody who was an extremely successful consultant, sold very, very high in consulting work, and he designed this website that had 6 hours of audio on it. It was just incredible. So you started on this website, and you really couldn't figure out how to buy until you like went through all this different audio. And I mean, he was a very smart marketer, a very smart business strategist. And he said, you would not believe, and obviously not everyone's going to listen to 6 hours worth of audio. That's a pretty motivated person. But that was sort of the point. By the time that person got done listening to all that audio and reading all the materials, that person, and there was good information in all of that, so that's part of the reason why they kept reading it, that person was ready to buy. And this was a very high-end amount of money they were spending, but they plunked it down because because they were sold. And the thing is that if you went through the program, you couldn't just jump to the end and buy. You had the next step in the process was listening to all that, getting all that education, because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted you to have that education. They really only wanted to work with you if you were willing to put in that kind of time.
You're absolutely right. I used to train sales teams across the country, and amazingly, if somebody was, well, it wasn't really amazing in the long run, but if somebody was having trouble with their sales, that was usually one of the problems, is that they almost never asked for the sale. They thought they did, but they never really did, and they would walk away with money on the table. And the person clearly, they went through the whole thing. The person's ready to buy, but they've never asked. And they won't, they're not going to chase you down and tackle you and say, I want to buy this. it's imperative that they have that on their website. Or anything, or even in a speech, if you want, like you said, if you want their email address, you want them to fill out a survey about you, anything, you have to ask. And that is one thing, I think it seems to really trip people up, it frightens them a little bit sometimes, that to directly ask for the exactly what they want.
Right.
And it's the number one thing they have to do to get those sales.
Yeah, because if you don't, you're not, if you just dance around it. I mean, it does push a lot of our buttons to ask for the sale. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, nothing happens. So, you do have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, Michelle, I love all your points. I know your ideal client, what's their pain, their benefits, overcoming objections, packaging your genius. I love how you said that, and asking for the sale. Those are all wonderful points, and you explained them all beautifully. I really appreciate you taking all this time with us tonight to tell us all about copywriting. Do you have a website where people can find you so they can find out more information?
Yes, it's michellepw.com, michellepw.com. And actually, I'd love to invite all of you, you could have a special gift for me if you want to learn more about copywriting. You go to michellepw.com/free gift, michellepw.com/free gift, and that will take you to my little copywriting rescue kit, which has got a white paper and it's got two different audios. One audio is about like how to make money even in a bad economy, something like that. But it's in the 13-page white paper all about copywriting techniques and tricks. So it's really a good package that you can use to learn more about copywriting and get better results with your copywriting. So if you're at all interested, I would really love it if you would go over there and check that out.
Well, a call to action. Michelle, that was so generous of you. Thank you so much for that generous offer. That's very sweet of you. I'm going to have to go over there and sign up and read more about it. Thank you again for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you. I learned so much today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. I love talking about this stuff anyways.
I can tell. You have a lot of passion in it.
Yeah.
If you would like more information about Michelle PW, please go to the GetEI.com website. That's GETEI.com, where you'll find out more information about her, her website, and the free offers that she just made. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.